in your walk with God, as you draw closer, you'll find yourself wanting to be of help to others. And so tonight, I just simply say, even as, you know, figuratively, you could extend your hand out to someone, let me help you. But God is just speaking to each one of us tonight and saying, let me help you. Let me encourage you. Let me pick you up and give you strength. And He will be that strength in times when we don't have it. In our weariness, God is the one that keeps us. And in the 59th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid your face from you, that He will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. And we'll stop right there. When you begin to read this, it's amazing that even in the time when Isaiah was bringing these words, that it is a open and very real perspective to the world that we live in today. And all the things that we walk in, and all the things we face, even when we walk in the midst of things where people are walking in sin and knowingly sinning, and they're in trouble and knowingly staying in trouble without changing their mind for a better hope. But the one thing that we have assurance in is that the Lord's hand is not short, and that wherever we are and wherever we can pray and wherever we can be of help when we've done all that we can, His hand still goes forth and touches their lives and their needs. And hallelujah, I ask God sometimes, Lord, where is my help? And God, where is my strength? And where is it that it comes from? And I'd like to sometimes visualize the moment that it begins to happen, when I feel myself suddenly rise from my weariness and I say, Lord, where is your strength? And sometimes I want to see it in some kind of substance that would build me to be strong. And sometimes I want to read it in the Word of God that it would pick me up and give me strength when I'm weak. And sometimes I think that it's going to be in a song, that when I hear it, that it's going to soothe me and bring me up. But in all, there's been times when none of that was going to do it for me. And it wasn't enough. And when I begin to realize the promise that He's given us, when I look into the Word of God and realize that He has not left me and He's not forsaken me, I believe that I begin to visualize a little bit of His power, that even when I'm laying flat on my back, that He begins to pick me up and give me a new strength and a new sense of life and purpose. And hallelujah, the enemy is raging and attempting to tempt us in our time of weakness. I want you to hear that tonight. In our time of weakness is when we are the most vulnerable. When we don't feel like we can go on is when we begin to listen to what Satan would begin to speak. And hallelujah, I know that when we get frustrated or we get angry with life and why it doesn't seem to go all together as we would want it arranged, that Satan begins to whisper in our ear and begins to tempt us even to blood, or that is something that would taint what God has done for us. It draws us away from where He wants us to be, and we end up being most miserable, even more than we would have been. And we have churches today, and I say it all the time, that are not realizing the true fullness of joy because they're coming in tainted by everything else that has helped them to fall into temptation. How easy it is to be tempted in this day and time. Just by emotion alone, we're tempted now. And just by a few words, and not great words, not even big words, just words in general that are brought towards us, draw us away and tempt us. But hallelujah, you begin to read on in chapter 61, because even Isaiah had to get weary. He had to be tired of bringing such strong words. And sometimes we don't even want to tell people that they need to change their life because we're too afraid of the repercussions of what they would reject us or tell us, you know, you don't need to talk to me about this. And how many of us have been afraid to witness to somebody because we were afraid that they weren't going to receive it? That alone sometimes hinders us from being able just to speak what God is wanting to do. But even as I'm reaching my hand out tonight and just wanting us to visualize this, God's hand is not short, that no matter where we are, but he does not reach out to our very needs. His hand is not short, that no matter where you may be, that his hand is nigh upon your life. And hallelujah. And even if you couldn't even lift your hand, even when you're that weary, and if it's in your mind and that you're troubled in that area, that he hears when you begin to call, even in your words. Say this with me tonight. Help me, Lord. Even in your words, there is power as you have faith. Hallelujah. And we sometimes wait for that preaching to pick us up and put us back where we need to be. But listen, it is in your words. You already have what you need to have access to God. And the only thing that we need to begin to do to battle temptation, to be able to battle the presence of the enemy, is to use the words and the assurance that we know that God is with us. And hallelujah, it'll bring life to where a prayer life has gone dry. It'll begin to restore something that had been dried up a long time ago. And sometimes we lose the zeal of our prayer because we're so troubled about everything going on that we can't get down and break down. But God wants a few more breakdowns, because when we realize, hallelujah, when we're weak, that God can be made strong in us, and our words begin to be humbled, and you know that your pride wants to rise up and say, well, I've got this, or I'm going to be able to make enough to pay this, or I'm going to be able to pick myself up. But hallelujah, it takes the encouragement of the Most High to keep you. And for that, I'm assured tonight that when we reach out to one another, it's an act of love. And it's showing somebody that you are willing to help them. And you know, as you reach out to somebody, you are the hand of God. You're his very presence in the midst of people that need you to be that. Hallelujah, you're that hug to somebody. You are the hug of the Holy Ghost. You're that help to someone. You are the encouraging words that brings life where somebody is fading away. At times I wonder, God, when will I be encouraged in what I'm walking through? And then it's as if you could hear it in the distance, an encouraging word. You begin to hear somebody stand up and say, I'm glad I know that God has done it for me before, and then he'll do it again. And that is strength to me, because somebody's coming to the realization of the promise of God. Now Isaiah began to come to this realization towards the end of this book. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lord God, help us to be able to give somebody the voice of comfort in a time of heaviness. I've never seen a day where people are so heavy. You see their countenance even at the grocery store and they can't hardly push the buggy. But are we so far gone that we don't have the voice of joy for somebody? To me, I know that when I realize just who he is, I begin to know what I am. I know that he called me to be a voice for somebody. He didn't call me just to preach, but he called me out when he saved me to be a voice of joy for somebody that's weary. There's somebody as you go out from here that needs you, oh, to be in the presence of God and to put every enemy that they have on the run by what you have inside. There's churches all across this county, but still people are not receiving help. And we think if we just build another church, they'll have a place that they can go to. But listen, not everybody that gets in trouble is going to be lowered enough in pride to pull in the parking lot and come in the door. And I want to know tonight, are we really seeking him to be the church when we're not in the presence of a building? Let me tell you something about when you give, it is far greater than to receive. And when you have an encouraging word for somebody, you may have to take 5 minutes to talk to them. And you may have to give them a little bit of your financial blessing that God's given you. And you may have to sit there and work with somebody. But it is such a rewarding experience to see that the heaviness leave somebody. The Word of God begins to talk about rejoicing for the one, even forsaking the 99. Because we could have as many as we could pack in here. But the joy is when we add them one at a time. When you go out and talk to somebody and remind them that there is a better hope for living, you begin to realize what church really is. It's not the form and fashion and the motions of walking in and coming out three times a week, but it's what you have in your heart that reaches out to somebody. I remember a church when I grew up that went to those that were sick. I remember a church that would go and didn't have to have somebody beg them to come and see them, but they were impressed on their heart to go and minister and to pray for them. I remember a day when they would have so much church here that they'd have to go out and have house services somewhere else because getting in the house of God wasn't enough. Or they just being in the building wasn't enough. They would take it out with them and had a substance in them that lived.
Is your house
a house where people know that God is? Is your house somewhere that somebody can go and find refuge in Christ? Very profound question, it seems like, but not really. I consider my house a house of the Lord. When He saved me, He not only changed me, He changed my house. He changed my office. He changed my words. He changed me. How is that possible? It's because that which lives in you is your church, is your refuge. I'm looking for somebody to stand and be able to be that voice for someone in heaviness. There are people that are mourning right now. People that need comfort in a time of mourning. And what did it say that we receive? To give them beauty for ashes. People have lost their sense of confidence to have purpose for living. So when you give beauty for ashes, you're speaking life into something that had already been destroyed. And I know when you look at somebody that's drug bound, sometimes it's hard to give them beauty for ashes. But God made us with no respect of person. And so there's just as much hope for somebody that's drug bound as there was for you when your life was changed. And hallelujah, when you see somebody in a low place, it's time to let go of judgments. They already know what they're doing. They already know what they're facing. They feel the emotion of the trouble. What God is looking for somebody to do is to give them beauty in a time of ashes. To tell them that there is a God that will change them. That there is a God that still saves. I'm encouraged tonight to know that there is a God that's still moving. That He's not stopped and leave us forsaken, but there is a God that's still alive and well. He's here to save. He's here to deliver. Don't lose hope when you look on the ashes of somebody's life, but give them beauty and speak it out in life and to say, Lord God, I know that you're moving.
God moves the greatest when it's the most broken. When somebody feels like that they are in no need of change, they will not hear God. They will not be drawn by His Spirit. A sense of pride begins to rise up in a person and is essentially the very thing that rejects the presence of the Lord. And I've never seen a day where people are so particular about the song selection, so particular about the dialect of your preacher or your speaker, and have totally missed the entire ideal of why it's even done to begin with. When we come in with a sense of pride in our life, literally, if the presence of God was pouring on you like a river, we would not be able to receive it because there has to be a lowliness in our heart. But we get caught up in song selection. We get caught up in who's standing and preaching, and it's not about that. There should be enough God in all of us that if one person passed the mic to another person, that it's the same God that's in you. Would be just as much help to somebody. Oftentimes we're waiting for somebody to preach or waiting for somebody. But listen, God is God in all of you. It is just as powerful in you as it would be in anybody else that you admire or that you hold up and lift up. It is just as much in you. It is. Don't think that you're in the ashes still. If God changed your life, He has given you beauty. You are somebody that's separate. And when people see you, they do not need to see you putting the ashes back on just so you can get along with them. Let somebody know that you love God and are living according to His laws and the way that He leads you. Hallelujah. And let them know that you have changed your life and that you're not as though you were.
Well, they'll just come up to me and say any old thing. We need to raise up a higher standard and higher spirit in us that people will know the difference.
It's a shame when people can come to church and not feel any conviction and be so comfortable that you would not be able to tell those who stand for God and those that do not. Because God gave us so much life, so much power. There should not be a time where we feel weak. Not be a time where we feel low. Because if we dwelled in Him continually, we'd rise to praise Him. Let's read on. And they shall build the old waste, they shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in your glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in the portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be unto them. How many of us have seen something that's been torn down before and just said there's no way that you could build that up again? Well, let's associate that with something else. When we feel dry and are hard and are not able to get into the almighty presence of God, sometimes we want to associate ourselves as broken and torn down. But when you're in something, hear this, when you're in something, it is the perfect time to rise and praise the Lord. When you're in the middle of your trouble and you need a friend and you just begin to call, He is there to bless you. He is there to give you that comfort. And so when we walk through our hard times and we cling into what He's doing for us and cling to know that we are not forsaken and we're not without, then when we get in a time of weariness, the temptation will be no more. And the enemy will have to figure out another way to try to get to you. We are tested in life to see where God's glory is going to be. Every time I stand, I feel that zeal and presence of the Lord that reminds me that He is with me. And that when we go out of here, that He's going to be with us. And I've never seen God shine brighter in my life than it has today. Because I finally realized His assurance. It causes me to have life in it more abundantly. And everybody that you know, and they may be Christians, they may be not, if they try to discourage you, you need to cling to the assurances of the promises of God to know that He is with you. And don't let anybody tear down what God is building up in you. We are of a beautiful people. Why? Because we were brought out of that which was bringing us low into sin. And God separated us for a purpose and a reason. And we should not be discouraged. And we should not be low, but know that He is moving. Say, He's moving. He's moving. Hallelujah. I've never seen the way that God's been moving here lately. It's been wonderful. And we want you to keep coming. But I don't want you just to come and show up. I want you to come and be that help to somebody. Well, I encourage you to be the help to somebody. If you've got a song, sing it. If you've got a word from the Lord, sing it. Hallelujah. Out loud as somebody can hear. Be the help to somebody. They're coming in heavy. God's sending them. And we better be ready to give them what they need. Because when they go out by themselves, temptation will overtake them. But that which we give as a body will give them life. We're walking in a time of desolated wastes. You go out into the world and even just take it just a week of time and we'll come back in and need that new refreshing from God. What I'm trying to get at is that we don't know how good that we have it to be able to have one another. But even in times that you can't be at church and you just can't get due to scheduling, God has not changed. He's still God for you. His arm is not short. I want you to remember that. That He's not able to reach out to you. You can begin to read from chapter 58 on and begins to talk about the prophecy of the Redeemer. What a blessing it is to read that. I encourage you to. But be encouraged tonight. But as you go out of here, be that help to somebody. When they're weary, speak life to them. Because that is the voice of God in you. Nothing that you could ever do. But through Him, you have the strength. And by obeying Him and seeking Him first in your life, all the other things will be added to you. We need to be ready for temptation and not be blindsided when the enemy comes with that same old song and dance. Oh, you're not able to do it. You're not good enough to stand and praise the Lord. Think about all the things that you've done. I'm sure we've all heard this from time to time, but that victory will rise up in you and it'll quicken you and say, Lord God, I'm not hearing this today. Lord God, I'm not listening to his temptation. I am better than this. I am able to do it. And Lord, help me to. And he'll give you strength. You know, we think sometimes that hearing this sort of word is an absurd thing, but it's not, because it's in those little temptations. Whereas the word says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big things that you're always wondering is going to happen. Is it going to hit my loved ones? Is it going to do this? Is it going to do that? Satan works in the small things in your life just by a little fight here and there. And without sanctification to be able to have victory over that, when the big things do come, we're just totally destroyed. But God gave us the provision to be able to be better than that. Better than temptation, are we? Absolutely. Better than being defeated? Yeah, because we're victorious. Better than being depressed? Yes, because he gave us joy. Better than being confused? Yes, because he's not the author of confusion. He will never lead you. Listen to this. God will never put you in a place where you're wondering where his will is. If you seek him closely, you'll understand his plan one way or another. And you'll be able to be at a peace in your heart to say, God, I may not understand, but I am trusting you. Satan will keep you in confusion as long as he can, because if you have victory over it, you may just be happy for once. You may just come in and be able to praise the Lord without people having to pull down the strongholds around you. And how about the day when we come in with victory that somebody will be delivered and not walk out unchanged? All we have to do is just commit to the Lord every day and win the battle over that which attempts to tempt our minds and our bodies, literally trying to destroy us here and there. But the Word of God says that by his stripes that we're healed. We're healed. And if you begin to pray towards that healing, you'll begin to feel the anointing touch your body. Hallelujah. Don't let anybody make you think that you are not healed in Jesus' name, because you have the power of healing in your life. You begin to pray for it and God will begin to move in your life. You be faithful and trust him and he'll move for you. When you go out of here, I want you to remember that his hand is not short, not for you and not for your families, not for your friends, your co-workers, anybody. His hand is not short. And no matter if you can be at church or whether you're not, that he will still hear when you call. Not a time that he does not hear you when you call. He is moved when faith is mixed in it. He's moved when our hearts are broken and contrite before him. And we finally give up and say, God, it's yours now and I cannot do it. And I believe that you're going to move in my life. And that kind of faith begins to stir up the presence of the Holy Ghost in you. And as you're broken, then he mends you and repairs you. And all the things that you thought, I'm going to have to just live this way, they begin to move out of your life. And hallelujah. I used to just dwell in depression. I'll testify to you. Dwell in depression and never thought I was going to shake it, and always felt like I had no purpose to live and thought nobody cared about what I was doing. And Lord, if I just took my life tomorrow, nobody would show up to my funeral. Every little thought that would try to tempt me to be sad. But one day I realized that God is right there with me, and every time that he comes to tempt me there, I realize that I am loved and I am beautiful in his eyes, and I am changed, and the Holy Ghost begins to come by. And I realize that I not only have dominion over it, but I have power to pray over others that would be afflicted there. Hallelujah. I've seen people that used to live so angry be delivered by the Holy Ghost and just be such the most loving people that I've ever met in my life. You could see people that would not consider themselves even beautiful and lack confidence in who they are. And then God deliver them. They find the person they were looking for and move on with their life. It's amazing the difference you can have in life with a confidence. Where is our confidence? It's in God. I'm tired of the enemy making us feel like that we're so far away that God does not see our situation. He sees it. He knows it. He's aware of where you are. And all we have to do is just lift up and say, God, pick me up. Pull me out of this. I'm tired of living in this, God. Pull me on my next step, God. If you've got to drag me, Lord, help me get moving. But as you seek him first, you become singly focused on one thing, the focusing on the good, focusing on that That is not as though it is. Your faith. Faith brings me into single-mindedness. And double mind cannot stay where there is faith. You may be sick, but if you speak that you're being healed, then the thought and worry and doubt of being afflicted leaves you. And you're no longer double-minded. And you may be ill at somebody or ill about something, but as you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, it brings love, and that which was making you ill must flee. Because when the light comes, it separates that which would try to hinder you. We'll be a voice of help when we have the light all the time. And when we're not up and when we're down and up and down, you know, people are wondering where crowds are at churches and where the passion is to be able to come, but somebody has got to stand continual to where people can come as a place of refuge and not have to fight just to feel the Lord, but to come in and enjoy the Lord, so somebody will be drawn by that. People are not drawn by the fight. They're drawn by the pleasure that people take in it. As much as you enjoy, that's when somebody says, you know what, I'm tired of living this way and I want something new. I want to be delivered. I want to be saved. What it means and feels like to be saved, it's wonderful. It is life-changing. It will help people out there.